Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. How are you today, darling?
I'm good. I'm a little busy today. We're actually recording this podcast a little early because I just don't think that Wednesday is going to happen because, you know, it's the day before Christmas Eve and we're both super busy. So we were lucky enough to get to come into the studio this afternoon.
Yes, and so, you know, we have the best guy, audio guy, Nick, who is kind of works with our schedule nonstop. And so, Nick, I want to thank you for that. So it's Christmas is almost upon us.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, we're going to go do some last minute shopping.
Yes.
And try to get everything, you know, situated for the kids and the family members that are going to be with us and kind of go from there. So, you know, I want to jump in real quick and, you know, address some concerns that I was made aware of yesterday. Now, it's amazing, folks, that the Georgia Department of Revenue and all of their band of liars, cheats, and thieves, how they get upset when I call them out. Now, granted, the one that was called out last week in the podcast, obviously, it offended her somewhat because she decided to call the courts to say she was feeling threatened. Now, there has never been a threat on this podcast to anyone. And thank goodness that some of the people in this judicial system actually can see through it. There has never been a threat made to anyone. I have only disclosed the truth about these liars and manipulators and how they have tried to come at us. Now, this individual that went and reported this, that she was feeling threatened, the irony of it was that she said she was feeling threatened and that there had been someone else with the Department of Revenue that had filed a complaint saying that I had been stalking them. Well, that individual was Katie Colvin Vansell. Now, we proved that, folks, many episodes ago of Chrisley Confessions, that Katie Colvin Vansell was a liar. She told that myself, Chase, and Kyle were at the bottom of her driveway and that we had been stalking her. Now, we have security cameras, folks, around our home that captures everything that we do. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're surrounded by, you know, production people. We have, you know, two full-time housekeepers in the house every day, a house manager. And just so happens the day that this individual said this occurred, our hairdresser was there all day cutting and coloring hair, right?
Yep.
So, and then Chase and Kyle had actually gone, Chase had gone somewhere for lunch and used his credit card, and Kyle had gone somewhere to fill his car. No, he had gone to Lowe's to buy a smoke detector. So he had his receipt and took a picture of himself with the cashier to show that there was no way that it's physically possible for us, any of us, to have been in the state of Georgia. But this individual that called in stating that she was feeling threatened, she tried to use the complaint that Katie Colvin Vansell had used to bolster her lie. Well, that didn't work because what she wasn't aware of was that Katie Colvin Vansell was proven to be a liar. That did not happen. The video of us in our home for that entire 24 hours was downloaded, was sent to our attorneys, and they have it. So that went nowhere. But the individual that has now complained on Friday is concerned about her phone records being released and about all of the information that we have found with the whole Georgia Department of Revenue and her participation in it. Her phone calls with Katie Colvin Vansell are, Josh Waits. Her phone calls with Josh Waits. She's not wanting those to be exposed, but they're going to come out. The press is going to have that information. This individual tried to use the press to destroy the family. And the press is now going to get the truth behind all the lies that was sold to the tabloids or provided to the tabloids via bloggers and anonymous tips. Well, here's the problem with your anonymous tips. If the phone numbers on your phone record, where you text to, or you called to, or your emails, and you communicated with a reporter that wrote a fraudulent story about us, then we've connected the dots. So I want to make sure that everyone knows that there is no threat of harm coming from Todd Chrisley. There is no threat of anything from Todd Chrisley or Chrisley Confessions.
Absolutely.
Other than we are going to deliver the truth. And we're going to use the same vehicle, the press, that was used against us to make up fraudulent stories because our name generates a click. The individual who was selling or promoting these lies to the tabloids, their names don't generate clicks. But they wanted to stay involved and attached to the last name of Chrisley. So there are no threats. The phone calls didn't work because at the end of the day, I'm not doing anything that I don't have my legal right to do, which is what my attorneys have told me, that I have the right to freedom of speech. I have the right to say if someone lies about me. I have the right to say if someone has forged documents to use against me. I have the right to say when someone has lied to government agencies about me, I have the right to defend myself and to prove that. We have the proof of that. We have that proof. And we're going to release that proof in February. It will come out in the courts, and it will be all over the news outlets. Because guess what, folks? My name generates clicks. And this whole thing was brought together with Josh Waitz and Katie Colvin Vansell and Scott Purvis and, you know, the commissioner at the time, Lynn Riley, to bring down the Chrisleys. They wanted a big fish that they could use so that when Lynn Riley went out on her tours talking about the, you know, how the things are handled, you know, in the state of Georgia, you know, with the Department of Revenue, she could use us as an example. That's how this whole thing got started, along with my former CEO who connived with the Georgia Department of Revenue back in 2014, we found out. Same person who embezzled millions of dollars from us, forged our name to documents, forged checks, you name it, he did it. But when you find out that your own, that people that are in your own home, that are in around you all the time, partnered up with these kind of people to take you down, it's heartbreaking. But again, there is no threat. We don't stalk people, folks. We don't go around people. We work every day. We're around 35 to 40 people. We're on camera every day. So our whereabouts.
And we try to stay out of Georgia as much as possible.
And so we don't, you know, to make these things up, I'm going to ask that charges be brought against this individual for making false statements to a police officer or to an officer of the court. Now, see, what this individual is not aware of, but they soon will be, is that we have them lying under oath, and then we have them lying to a police officer. We have the recorded testimony or the recorded statement with the police officer, and the police officer's exact words were, "We knew that there were huge inconsistencies in the statement. But once we made them aware that we were not moving forward with their wishes, they then decided to go over our head and wanted to speak to the DA, wanted to speak to this person, to that person, because they wanted Chase and myself arrested." Now, that's what happened, folks. All because they generated a lie. And now we're going to ask that in the state of Georgia, it is a felony to lie to a police officer. And we're going to ask that charges be brought. So regardless of what lies you tell, they're going to be exposed because God allows light to creep into darkness.
Okay, so 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you're among them, know you're not alone, and there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Thousands of women have taken back control of their hair with Nutrafol, with many users raving that the supplement not only transformed their hair, but restored their confidence too. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. In a clinical trial, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. More than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high quality solution for healthier hair. And I've talked about Nutrafol before, you guys, because I actually ordered it to start taking it myself. I have thick hair, but I've noticed my hair changing as I've gotten older. And I also just placed an order for my sweet mother-in-law because she has always had a head full of hair. And I truly believe that just the stress of this year has caused her to have some thinning. So she has actually started on Nutrafol. But with that being said, we all started because Savannah was taking it. And I literally have noticed with Savannah that her hair is starting to really thicken up and it's starting to grow. She just does not have my hair. And so she has tried product after product and shampoo and literally the only thing that has worked for her is Nutrafol. So you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code CC. And new customers will get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere. Plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CC. Check it out.
So anyone out there that listens to this podcast, clearly this individual knew that we were getting too close to the lies that they have told and that they were going to be revealed. So they decided that they were going to go and make this phone call to turn me in saying that I am threatening or harassing them. Nothing is further from the truth. And who is them? I'm trying to figure out, how do you know it's you unless what I'm saying is true and you knew you were involved in it?
Exactly.
And that you caused it.
Right. Exactly.
So, I don't even know how in the world that's possibly a crime, but I did get on the phone with all of our attorneys and I said, did you listen to the podcast? Did I say anything that's wrong? No, you did not. The individual that contacted me did not feel like I had done anything wrong. And so I wanted to kind of come out here today on our last podcast of the year and say that there has never been a threat made to anyone on this podcast about anything other than stating, not a threat. It's only a threat if you don't follow through with something. I have stated that the truth is going to come out, that we have the evidence, and we are going to disclose it. That's all I've ever said. Right. I've called out people for their participation in what they did to us. And these individuals, some of them have been terminated. One of them has been hired back because that's how they do things at the Department of Revenue. But once this individual goes on the stand and is cross-examined and she finds out that her own coworkers have thrown her under the bus and told what she did and how she did it to take us down, I want to see if the Department of Revenue continues to allow her to stay gainfully employed and taxpayers in Georgia continue to pay her salary, knowing that this individual is involved in forging federal documents, that this individual is involved in committing crimes. So, you know, that stuff's going to come out. And it's going to be very interesting to see how these 25 witnesses, whatever it is, when they're all cross-examined, how this all comes out in the wash. And we're saving one little spot for one individual, we're saving that individual, because that's going to be the nuclear bomb when that happens. So I want to end this conversation with stating again, there has never been a threat by Todd Chrisley to anyone. There has never been, and Julie, you ain't never said nothing to nobody, so I mean, it can't come after you. But I don't threaten people. I have no desire to do that. I want to let my actions speak for themselves. I'm going to let the evidence go on record and let the record speak for itself. Everything's been exposed with Josh Waitz. I mean, folks, this man destroyed evidence. This man, his own attorneys have said they don't have any phone records for him. Well, guess what? We've got them. That they don't have any information that they can give us because all of his emails has been destroyed and all of his phone text messages have been destroyed. Well, not all of them. We got lots of them. So, you know, when you're dealing with a corrupt organization like the Georgia Department of Revenue and they allow these employees to go in and wipe their computers clean and destroy their phones, and they do that because they being the Georgia Department of Revenue and Josh Waitz and some and these other cronies that were in there with him were stealing from the Georgia taxpayers to the tune of millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. It wasn't until I exposed this slush fund on this podcast that the money was investigated and turned over to the House of Representatives in the state of Georgia, which is where the money should have gone to begin with. But I still believe that it was unlawfully obtained, and so do my attorneys. But at least Josh Waitz could no longer use it as his slush fund, as his overdraft protection for his own lifestyle. At least he couldn't do that anymore. So with that being said, I'm going to move on. We're going to talk about things that are more positive. But for all of you that write in and email and message me and give me information, I thank each and every one of y'all from the bottom of my heart, because I prayed for you guys to come forward. And God answered that prayer when he allowed you to start trickling in. And I will always be grateful. I hate that many of you have to be impositioned by being drug into court and to tell your story and to verify what you've told us. I hate that you have to do that, but it is what it is. And hopefully we'll all get through this and we'll be better for it. I know that message doesn't sound positive right now when it comes to, you know, when you have to say things like that, but I do believe that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, and that what he does bring us to, he'll bring us through. So again, I thank each and every one of you who's concerned about that situation, who's given us information, who continue to check up on us. For that, I will always be grateful. Let's try to get a few callers in.
Sure.
First caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Lexi, and I'm from Richmond, Kentucky. And I was just calling in today. I just wanted to tell you all that I really just love your show. I love the podcast. You all just keep me laughing, and I just love it. But anyways, the reason that I'm calling in today, I am a 24-year-old, and my husband and I just recently found out that we're expecting. We're having twins, and they're due in March, and we're just over the moon, you know, excited. We just can't wait for them to get here, and I'm just so excited to be a mom. That's the only thing I've ever really wanted in life is to be a mom. And Julie, I know that you're a fantastic mom, and, you know, any advice that you all, and Todd too, parenting advice that you all have would be great, because, you know, I am a new-time mom, and I'm pretty stressed out. You know, I just feel like I want to be the best that I can be for these kids, and I've never done it before, so, you know, it just kind of, I'm a little bit anxious, I'm a little bit stressed out. You know, I've not been sleeping very well. I found myself waking up, you know, in the middle of the night looking up, you know, how to properly put a baby to sleep, or how to properly burp a baby, how to bath a baby. And I'm just, like, really having a lot of anxiety. So any advice that you all have for me would be great. Again, I love the show, love the podcast. You all are amazing. And I hope this makes it to you. Thank you.
Hi, Lexi. from Richmond, Kentucky. First of all, I want to say congratulations. Oh my gosh, you're having twins. That is amazing. I would tell you to relax, that, you know, being a parent is a learning process every single day. My oldest child is actually your age, and I am still learning how to parent. So I don't think it's a job that we ever complete. But I would say to you, for me, it's keeping them on a schedule, and you're going to have two at one time. Now, Chase and Savannah were close in age. They're only 14 months apart, but they weren't twins. But I would tell you, keeping those babies on a schedule, putting them down to bed. My kids always were in bed by 7:30. And Chloe to this day is in bed at 7:30, you know, unless there's, you know, something special, or, you know, she might stay up a little later on the weekend. But during school, she's in bed at 7:30. And, you know, it gives you a chance to breathe, to sit down, to you know, maybe watch a TV show with your husband, or get things done around the house that you need to get done. It's okay. They need their rest, and so do you. So best of luck to your twins, to you and your twins. Todd?
You know, I think that, you know, when it comes to children, you know, what the advice that Julie just gave you is 100% on, you know, on point. Julie always made sure that our kids were on a schedule, and it made our life so much easier. I mean, she had them in the bed at 7:30, and then the rest of the night belonged to us, which is probably why we kept having kids. Now that I think about it. But, you know, the rest of the night belonged to us, and, you know, you had your kitchen clean, the kids in bed, and you were taking a bath at 7:30.
Right.
That was your routine pretty much for our entire life.
7:30, 8 o'clock, yep.
And so I think that, know that God's not going to give you something that you can't handle. B, I think that once you have your babies, your instinct will kick in.
Yeah.
And you will
for sure.
know what to do. And you will be surprised at the instincts that God instills in you as a parent. You'll be able to know if your child's not feeling well.
Right.
You'll be able to look at them and say something's not right. Right. You know, you will be able to hear when they make a grunt. At night.
Yep.
You used to always say, because if our kids moved, I heard them.
Right.
And, you know, we would put them in a bassinet beside our bed at night. And when they would just grunt or stretch, it woke me up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be fine.
Absolutely. And you know what? If hopefully you have people in your life who can help you, whether that's a mother, a grandmother, a mentor, an aunt, a sister, somebody, let them help you. Let them help you. Let them share their wisdom with you, especially if they're older and they have kids and have done it. Take the advice of women who have been there before you. So best of luck, Lexi. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Kendall from Shelbyville, Tennessee. I'm your biggest fan, and I'm wondering what y'all do on your off days of Chrisley Confessions or your television show. I love y'all. Bye.
Hi, Kendall. Thank you so much for calling in. What do we do on our off days? You know what we do on our off days? We do just normal stuff, whether that's grocery shopping or, you know, making sure the laundry's called up or, you know, just everyday normal things. You know, we like to go out to dinner occasionally. But most of the time, because we do film so much, our off days are just our days to catch up. So kind of like everybody else.
We work 7 days a week. Exactly. So Kendall, I hope she gave you the answer you're looking for, buddy. And we love you back. Have a wonderful holiday.
Okay, so we have now partnered with a new company that I'm super excited about. Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long term. All of Care Of's products are formulated with good-for-you clean ingredients that are backed by science. Care of is a super transparent about the research and sourcing behind each one of their products. Your recommendations come in a daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine. I love the fact that you do receive your vitamins that have been tailor-made for you and what you want to accomplish. They come in this really cool little stand. I keep it on my counter. And then there's a pack. So if you are on the go, if you're traveling, you're not having to carry a bunch of different bottles with you. They're all in each individual pack for the day. And it is super easy, super convenient. Care of's in-depth 5-minute online quiz asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help you address your specific wellness goals. Care of's holistic online quiz is like getting a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist, all without leaving your house. Get a personally tailored approach to your unique health needs. Follow Care of's expert recommendations or adjust your packet anytime when you receive. What you receive is totally up to you. So I am urging you to go now to takecareof.com and enter code CC50. That's for 50% off your first Care of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CC50.
Next caller, please.
So my name is Amanda, and I just absolutely love your all show, and think you all are the best thing ever. But my question is, what is your all's favorite meal for Christmas dinner? What is something that you all just love to have? Could be a dessert or anything. Thank you all so much.
Hey, Amanda. You want to go? You want me to go?
I think that probably my two favorite things that Julie makes is her mac and cheese and her carrot cake.
Yeah, I'd agree. We are actually doing something different this year. I normally kind of just recreate Thanksgiving all over again, and we're not doing that this year. We're actually doing steak and baked potato and salad, and I'm doing a bunch of desserts. And then on Christmas Eve, which I like, Amanda, I do appetizers. So we're getting a board from the Cheese Gal that I'm super duper excited about here in Nashville. She it's a woman-owned business, a friend of ours, Courtney, and she does amazing charcuterie boards, crudité boards, and we are having one for Christmas Eve. So I'm super excited about that. So I would probably say that my family's favorite are the two that Todd mentioned, my macaroni and cheese and the carrot cake. And, you know, both of those are on the Chris USA website in my cooking segments. So if you want to try, they're there. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Ellen, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I was just curious, how would you handle someone that you were friends with for over 10 years kind of just ending a friendship via text? You know, there was a little bit of conflict these past few months. I think COVID had a lot to do with it. But the fact that I tried to make an effort to, you know, have like a virtual happy hour and try to talk about things and, you know, listen to her and try to fix things. And in return, she only wanted to just end the friendship. Do you have any advice? Because honestly, I'm very hurt by the situation and it's just hard to move forward. So I'd love your advice. Thank you guys so much. I love your show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, Ellen from Pennsylvania. First of all, if someone can so easily walk away from your friendship after 10 years, and I think 10 years is a long time to be friends with someone,
100%.
Then obviously you were way more invested into the relationship than they were. So, you know, I am a firm believer that when people show you who they are, you need to believe them because they're showing you who their true self is. You know, I personally, my circle of friends is very small, but they are friends that I have had for years and years, and I will have till I die. So you know, I would just tell you that, unfortunately, I know that it hurts your feelings because you wanted to remain friends with this person, but obviously they felt differently. So I would say just put your efforts and your energy into your true friends who you know are going to be there for you no matter what.
And, you know, with that being said, I mean, that's great advice. With that being said, you don't even know now, but you will later, what a gift she has given you.
Right.
Because life is precious. It's too short. And you don't need, you only need to be around people that are going to lift you up, that's going to love you, even when you piss them off. They're going to love you and they're going to come back. So you know what? What you said really pissed me off, but I love you more than what you did.
Right. And also time and distance. I know you said you thought that COVID played a part in it. I can tell you, I have dear, dear friends that I will go for periods of time and we don't talk, but when we catch up, it's as if there were no time that passed. And I think that's the true testament of a real friendship.
100%.
So Ellen, and good luck with that. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. I'm going to give you my middle name. It's Faith, believe it or not. But I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on divorce. Todd, I know you've been divorced. I got divorced about 3 years ago due to my ex-husband suddenly getting on drugs and being abusive and completely wrecking my life, almost to the point of bankruptcy, until I finally got out. And now I'm in a great relationship. But I just hate how people say that you never give up on your marriage and how divorce is wrong and you're going to go to hell. I mean, I grew up as a Christian, and my parents fully supported me in my decision and got me out of there. So I just wanted y'all's thoughts on what to say when people say that, or how true is that statement? But I love you guys. I love watching your show. I've been binging this podcast. Thank you. Hope to hear your response.
Oh, Faye.
From Rock Hill.
Well, Faye, the next time someone tells you you're going to hell for getting a divorce, you need to say, no, I've done my time in hell, which is why I got my divorce. The Bible says, in my case... if a woman shall commit adultery against her husband, so shall he set her free in writing. I did exactly that, because that's what my ex-wife did. She committed adultery multiple times. But at any rate, if God views divorce as a sin, he also views judging as a sin. God says, judge not, lest ye be judged. So the people who are giving you their opinions for free, you're allowing to rent space in your head for free. Someone else's opinion of you is not your business, so let it go. If someone's got time to say to you, well, Faye, you're going to hell because you got a divorce, you can say, you know what? I did my time in hell, and I'm not going to revisit it by going back there by being friends with someone as hypocritical as you. When people come at you sideways, you got to set them straight. And once you set them on their path of being straight, you can say to them, now, I just corrected you because I cared enough about you to prevent you from looking like a complete idiot. And I care enough about my own mental health to not have someone like you in my life that's going to judge my decisions. That's like saying that if you divorce someone who physically abused you every day of your marriage, who cheated on you, who wouldn't work, who, you know, was physically abusive, whatever, that you should stay in that because God said if you divorce, you're going to hell. The Bible doesn't tell you that, by the way.
No.
So you need to research that, and you're not going to find it because the Bible does not tell you that. Now, I grew up in the church, and, you know, it was always that, you know, you couldn't be a deacon in the church if you were divorced. Now, it was okay to be a deacon if you was having an affair, but you couldn't be a deacon if you divorced. Right. So I looked at that very early on, you know, because I actually found one of our deacons in the church with the lady that played the organ. She was sitting in, they were sitting in their car in the back of the church at Calvary Church of God, and I actually saw them laying hands on each other. So, you know, I never reported that except to my mama, Chrissy, and told her. She told me, you better shut your mouth. So I had to shut my mouth, but I knew by shutting my mouth that I was covering up a sin. So now they have gone on to be with Jesus, I assume. I guess they repented for their sins, and she was playing the organ as she entered the pearly gates. So I would just say to you, it's very simple for me. I don't care what anyone else says about me.
No, your relationship with God is between you and God.
That's right.
And that's the only person that you have to atone your sins to, and that is the only person that
but
really
how
at the
hypocritical,
end of the day
matters. But how, let's talk about that for a minute. That's part of the problem with Christianity today, is by thinking from an outside perspective that you know what someone's personal relationship with is with Christ.
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, you have said to me, I have said to you, you need to get in, you need to work on your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And you got very defensive with me and said, how dare you?
Right.
You don't know what my relationship is with God.
Right.
I pray every day of my life multiple times a day.
Yep.
I read my scripture. I'm into what I need to do. So how dare you to say that to me? Do you remember saying
that
to me?
I do.
And I said, you know what? You're right. I apologize for that. I'm just saying that the way you're responding to things doesn't appear to be as Christ-like as your talk is.
Right.
And we worked through that because you said, then I need to be, if your exact words were, if my talk does not align with my walk, then I'm obviously not doing what I need to be doing, and I'm going to work on being able to give grace in other situations better than what I've been doing.
Absolutely.
So we learned from that, Faye.
Which is what I'm continuing to work on.
Right. And so what I would say to you is that the next time someone says that to you, tell them to come at me on Instagram to send me a message about where they're coming from, or you just message me, and then I will put them on Instagram and we'll have a healthy debate over why they feel they have a right or a season pass into your life, into your level of happiness, and how you choose to obtain it. So I hope that helps you, Faye. Good luck and God bless and Merry Christmas. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Jackie from Sacramento, California. I love your podcast. I love your show. My question to the both of you is, I am currently a single mom. I've been divorced a couple years. My ex-husband is in the Navy, and he travels pretty much all over the place. And with us living in California, it is quite expensive, as you guys know. So my question is, where do you guys stand as far as picking up my little family and moving my son out of state to a place with, you know, cheaper cost of living, better school districts? His grandparents are here, but everyone is kind of scattered. We don't see everyone a lot. So to me, I don't think it's a huge deal to relocate to somewhere where I don't have to, you know, have a husband or a partner to have a home for my son. I know there's other states where I could maintain a mortgage on my own as a single mom, but California is just not one of those places. Anyways, I know you guys are very family-oriented, and I would love to have your views on the topic. Thanks again. Love your show. God bless.
Well, now.
Jackie from Sacramento.
Jackie, first off, your family, i.e. you, your husband, and your child.
No, she's divorced.
Oh, she's divorced?
No, she's divorced.
So she's divorced.
Yeah. So it's her and her child.
Well, you have to do what's in the best interest of your child. And if the best thing, if you know, and first of all, let me just go ahead and go on the record with California. California is just a shit show right now. I mean, with the governor there, you know, it's okay for him to go out to a French restaurant in Napa and then lock the entire state down, put restaurants out of business, and then turn around and say, but, and listen, I'm saying this, and I'm part of it. that film crews and television and whatever are considered essential workers. Hmm. But people who are trying to provide for their family by showing up and waiting tables or cooking meals or cleaning the restaurants up and bussing tables and serving people to pay their rent, that's not essential.
Right.
Now, Newsom had some of the toughest restrictions in the country when COVID hit, but yet they're having the largest acceleration. After he shut the restaurants down.
Right.
So I personally would not want to live in a state with a governor that has such piss poor leadership. Right. That's my opinion, Jackie. But if you're searching for a better life, we'd love to have you in Tennessee. It's a beautiful life here. And people are friendly and it's affordable. And, you know, for a single mom here, you could have a mortgage that you could pay on your own. And could have a much nicer home here. You're not paying, you know, $2,800 to $3,800 a square foot. You know, you're getting homes here for $300 a square foot. And they're nice.
Exactly.
So, you know.
I do think it's a much broader decision because she does have a child and her ex-husband he's based out of California. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that you guys are going to have to truly, this is where co-parenting is going to come in. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sit down with him. You have to have your plan together of where you want to be, what you want to do, because, you know, you don't want to be fighting with somebody every week either, or every month. So I think it is something that it's going to require you to truly co-parent and, you know, maybe, and there are, I mean, I would hate to have to be in California as a single mom trying to educate and put a roof over my kid's head. I mean, it's hard. It's so hard. So keep us updated and let us know what decision you make and how you're moving forward.
Good luck, Jackie.
Next caller.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Jessica from Boston, Massachusetts, and I just love you guys so much. I'm unfortunately separated from my family right now. My partner is a doctor, and so I've been quarantining alone, and your family has truly gotten me through these tough times. And, Todd, I'm so happy that you're on the mend. I just have a question as I think about me and my partner sort of navigating life. How have you guys sort of maintained such a happy, loving, and supportive marriage throughout the past few years, and do you think that filming has sort of taken a toll on that or made it better? It seems like you guys were maybe a lot more affectionate at the sort of earlier seasons versus now. Is that like a deliberate choice, or was that sort of just part of the ebb and flow of being filmed? Once again, thank you so much. I'm wishing and praying for safety for you guys and for everyone in this beautiful country. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica. I don't know how to quite answer that question. I mean, Julia and I are not big on public displays of affection.
No.
That is something that you from day one was like, this is private. It's between us. It should be kept between us. I personally don't have a problem if you want to put your hand on my thigh under the table.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying I'm easy and I'm cheap.
We've been together for 25 years. So has filming affected our relationship? You know, I think Todd and I were very much, we went into the whole filming process with our eyes wide open. And we made a commitment to each other that this show would not tear us apart, would not tear our family apart, if we could help it, if there was any possible way. And I truly feel like we've done the very best we could do with that. I mean, what do you think?
I think that we have done we've done exactly what works for us,
right,
is what I think.
Absolutely.
But
just because you don't see the affection doesn't mean
she is not all over me.
I love him with my heart and soul, even though he drives me absolutely out of my mind most days, most hours of the day. That doesn't mean that I don't absolutely worship him. So, with that being said, Merry Christmas, Jessica.
Why don't we tell her what you do to me?
Jessica, and you know what? Thanks to your partner who is a doctor. Hope they are safe and, you know, just getting
Jessica,
rest.
Jessica, I understand your relationship because I'm the doctor and Julie's the nurse a lot of times.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So just so you know, that affection is flowing. So have a wonderful holiday, darling. Next caller, please.
Hi there. This is Brooke from Boaz, Alabama. I'm a 25-year-old mother to twin boys that just turned 4 months old. I'm currently dealing with postpartum depression. I'm seeing a counselor and everything for it. But, Julie, I'm just wondering if you ever had a problem with postpartum and if you did, what you did to kind of resolve it, or if you didn't have anything. I'm just wondering. Thanks.
Hi, Brooke from Boaz, Alabama. Girl, you have got four-month-old twins. Congratulations. But I know that you are one tired mama. You know, I don't really know that I want to say I think I had a little postpartum after Savannah. I was just so young, and I don't know that I necessarily knew what it was at the time. But looking back, I think it was. But I am so happy to hear that you are talking to someone. You know, find a good counselor, a good therapist, doctor, that you can talk to, that you can be open and honest with, that you can discuss your feelings with, because postpartum is an absolute real thing. And so many women deal with it and they struggle in silence when we don't have to. So I applaud you for even, you know, calling into this podcast to talk about it. So you keep your head up. Those babies are going to grow so fast. But keep going to your therapist, keep talking about it, you know, maybe find some other mom, young moms who, because I can assure you if there is a group of young moms, they are experiencing some of the same things that you are. So best of luck to you. Thank you so much for listening, and give your sweet twins a kiss for us. Staying healthy and strong is more important than ever. And for me, it's all about just my overall health. Health, whether that's watching what I eat or whether that's exercising. And to help me stay resilient and well, I also take supplements from Objective Wellness. Objective offers targeted solutions like better sleep, firmer skin, or a healthy immune system. Their products are crafted with high-quality ingredients shown to deliver specific results. Objective's ingredients are backed by science. Behind each ingredient, there are scientific studies and endless hours of research. Objective sources active extracts from blueberries, saffron, and even microalgae, which provides an antioxidant 6,000 times stronger than vitamin C. Objective knows that wellness looks different on everyone, that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Objective focuses on targeted solutions, giving you support exactly where you need it. I myself have been taking one for better sleep just because I find that my sleep patterns are just crazy and they're all over the place, and I'll go a few nights and sleep and then I'll have nights where I can't fall asleep for anything. I mean, it's crazy. And I have noticed now that I'm taking my Objective Wellness that I'm able to fall asleep and stay asleep and just feel more rested in the morning. So Objective helps me feel my best, and they can help you too. Go to ObjectiveWellness.com and use code CC to get 20% off your first order. If you're not completely satisfied, you can get a full refund. That's the Objective promise. Again, that's ObjectiveWellness.com, code CC for 20% off. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products discussed or advertised are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Next caller, please.
Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm calling from Sarasota, Florida. I just have a quick question for you guys, I guess. So me and my significant other, we both have a child from a previous relationship, and we have one together. I have an issue with his parents kind of singling out my son from my previous relationship. My son's father isn't in the picture, so my boyfriend now has actually completely taken on the father role in his life. He doesn't know anyone else besides my boyfriend as his dad. So I guess my question here is, I know that Todd had kids coming into the relationship with you, Julie, and I just was wondering, like, how your parents kind of accepted Lindsay and Kyle, and if they did or if they didn't, and how you guys handled it. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Leah from Sarasota. You know, yes, Todd had two children coming into the marriage. My parents, I have to say, were great grandparents to Lindsay and Kyle. Lindsay and Kyle loved going to my parents' house. And, you know, my parents never, you know, they always treated them as if they were their grandchildren. So I do know that it's difficult. I did not have children coming into the marriage, only Todd. And so sometimes I think when it's his and hers and ours, it's just a lot. There's a lot of figuring out to do. But maybe, you know, if you and your boyfriend can sit down with his parents and be like, this is how we're feeling. You know, your boyfriend's taken on all the father responsibilities of your child, you know, and maybe let them know that, you know, because it's hard. It's hard to, you know, sometimes it's hard, especially for older people, to understand true dynamics of how things are supposed to, you know, how you want them to be, and how, you know, maybe they're just not considering the fact that your child doesn't have anybody else. So listen, blending families is a tricky situation.
It's a very difficult situation. And, you know, with all due respect, it's the odds are stacked against you from the very beginning, because, you know, the kids, bless their hearts, you know, they don't get to have a choice as to what the parents do. And, you know, I understand that people don't stay together anymore, and that, you know, it's people now decide that, you know what, my life is worth more than what I have settled for, or what I've ended up for, without taking into consideration what it's going to do to the child. I was fortunate because I have amazing in-laws that looked at my two oldest, you know, as really their own. And, you know, my mother-in-law worshipped, you know, my oldest child. Mm-hmm. And Harvey worshipped mm-hmm. Kyle. And so it turned out to be a great thing. And then Chase came along. And, you know, we were all still I guess in my mind, I always felt like this is my family.
Right.
But, you know, when your in-laws have a biological grandchild, the dynamic does change.
Right. I think you're being 100% honest.
The dynamic does change. Right. And, you know, you don't punish the biological grandchild by ignoring them to make the non-biological grandchildren feel more comfortable. That's just not the way that it works. You try to evenly distribute love.
Right. Right.
But is there a genetic tie? Absolutely. I watched it. I lived it. I know that it exists. Yes, there is a genetic tie, and you gravitate towards the one that there's no way in my mind that I would ever love a child that was not my biological child. I guess what I'm trying to say is that for me, it was never an option for me to go out here and to get married and, you know, and to bring and that person. It just didn't happen for me to fall in love with someone who had children. That's right. What I'm trying to say.
Right, right.
I never fell in love with someone
and
who
I
had children.
And I want to preface what you're saying with, I think it is amazing when people who
can
are
do
led
it.
To adopt and to do that. I think it is an absolute gift from God. So
100%.
We are not negating that in any way.
Well, I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about marriage, or about raising another man's children.
Right.
I never fell in love with a woman that had children.
Right.
I mean, I dated some, but I mean, that was never going down to lead to a road of marriage.
Right.
Because, A, I wasn't going to deal with another man in my house every day and the bullshit that came along with it. So I was selfish in that regard. I mean, I wanted to meet a woman that was going to do exactly what I said I wouldn't do.
Right.
And I did. And you ended up being shit on for that. But, you know, with that being said, I just feel like that there is absolutely, there's something about genetics.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been said to you by the oldest that She didn't care what you said. There's no way you could ever love them the way you loved the three you gave birth to.
Right.
And your response was, I've loved you with everything that I had,
right.
and I never felt like I treated you any differently.
Right.
But you're right. There is right. a different love.
Right.
And we're kind of open and honest about
yeah.
that. There is
yeah.
a different love.
Because it was also flipped, too, that, you know, and I said this, if I'm laying on the side of the road and mm-hmm. your biological mother's laying on the side of the road.
Who are you going
to
save?
And you have to choose one to save. Who are you saving?
Mm-hmm. And even though their biological mother
was her mother.
Yeah. And even though her mother did not gave her away and did not raise her.
Right. And I don't fault her. I don't fault them for
that. No, you never
did. I don't fault them. And I never have, because I have always, from day one, even to the detriment of my own marriage, I have always felt like that children need to be with their biological mothers and fathers. You know, I've always felt like children, if at all possible, needed to have a relationship with their biological mom or dad, if they weren't, you know, with them every day. I've always felt that way, and I feel that way to this day.
Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, you are your child's best advocate.
Yes.
So if you see that your child is not being treated with respect, not being nurtured, not being shown affection,
right,
and is being treated differently, then it's your job as that child's parent to remove your child from that situation.
Absolutely.
Because you don't force a relationship on your child that you chose.
Exactly.
Your child gets to decide whether or not they want to be in that relationship.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my two oldest, they always wanted to go to your mom and daddy's.
Yeah.
So they made that choice. Right. So I hope that that information helps you.
I think we have time for one more caller.
Hi, Julie and Todd. This is Joanne Handy, and I'm one of your greatest fans. I love your show. My question to the both of you all, I love watching your show. My question is, how is your life outside of the camera? Is it hard to adjust from once the cameras are turned off? Is it hard for you guys to also go back to your normal life? Or do sometimes you feel like you replaying the episodes that you actually may have been filmed to do? You guys seem like very down-to-earth person, so I'm sure that wouldn't be hard for you to do. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Joanne. You have the sweetest voice. Is it hard? No, it's not hard, because
our show is
not scripted. So what you're seeing is our life. So no, it's not.
We don't have an adjustment period.
I finish filming and I might go to the grocery store. I might go to the mall, or I'll start dinner, or I'll put a load of laundry in, or take the kids somewhere, do whatever I need to do. So, you know, the show has been a blessing to us and continues to be a blessing to us. And for that, we're grateful. And you know what? It is our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I think that absolutely, Joanne, there is no stop off, because it's our life. The only time it stops is if we're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then we wake up in the morning and find out there was shit that kept going while we were sleeping. So there just isn't that shut off button. I mean, I guess the cameras shut off and then we continue right on. I mean, a lot of the moments that you guys don't see are things that I think are the best television ever, because I'm like, oh my God, where were the cameras when this happened? Mostly those are moments with my mother.
Right.
And you know, it's, so no, there's really not a shut off period to that. So I hope that answers your question, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas. With that being said, folks, we're out of time. I want to reiterate again that Chrisley Confessions is a podcast that allows us to have our truth and our voice that, for the most part, we felt had been taken from us. And it's allowed us to take back some of our own life, to tell our own truth, and to debunk a lot of the lies that have been told about us. And not that the lies that have been told have mattered that much, because we live in our own truth and we know. But we do want to always, we want to always tell you the truth. I want to make sure that everyone knows that Chrisley Confessions is a podcast that's here to help and to lift up and to introduce you to folks that's going to make your life a better day, you know, give you a better day in your life. that Chrisley Confessions, Julie and myself and all the family members that come on this podcast, we are here not to ever make anyone feel threatened or that their opinion is less than because it's different than ours, or to ever cause a problem with anyone. That's not what we are here for. It's not who we are as people. And I genuinely love people.
Yes.
I genuinely love people. And I do believe that there's still a lot of good in this world. And I believe in my faith. I believe that, you know, good will outweigh bad. And I believe that God will always be triumphant over Satan. So I want to reiterate again, no hate on this podcast, no threats on this podcast. I have a right as an American citizen to freedom of speech. I have a right to say this is what has been done to us. These individuals that did this to us are going to be held accountable. I have a right to say that we have collected mountains of evidence and that that evidence is going to be presented. I have a right to say that when this evidence is presented, there's going to be a lot of embarrassment to people. I have a right to say that if you lied on me and said I was in your driveway or me and my sons were stalking you, we have a right to ask that criminal charges be brought against you. I have a right to ask that there be criminal charges brought against you if you go and give sworn testimony to a police officer knowing that what you've told is a lie. We have a right to ask for that criminal prosecution. And when you give a sworn statement to a police officer and you give a sworn statement to attorneys and those two completely conflict with each other, you either lied and committed perjury or you lied to a police officer. Either way, it was a lie. And those scenarios, folks, are what you're going to be able to see that's going to play out here in the coming year. If you don't follow it, then I will post these things on my social media to make sure that the world sees it as it's going down. And we will do whatever it is that we have to do that God decides for us to do. So with that being said, this is the end of Chrisley Confessions for 2020.
Yes.
We are grateful for all of the people that tune in each week to listen to the podcast. We're grateful for all of you folks that watch Chrisley Knows Best that have tuned in and made Growing Up Chrisley a wonderful, wonderful show and a wonderful hit as well, and moving it on into season four. We're grateful for the opportunities that God has given us, for 2021. And we don't know what 2021 holds.
No.
But what we do know is that we'll hold each other and that God will hold us.
Absolutely. So I know that this holiday season looks so different than any that we've ever experienced. So I hope that you get to see, to talk to the ones that you love and that you have an amazing holiday season. And we will see you in January.
So good luck and God bless.